get on here with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Lord, we praise you for the day now that you've given to us and that you've made here today. This is your day, Father, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings that you bestow upon us. Thank you for taking care of us this week, giving us safety, meeting our needs, watching over us, protecting us, and just for your guidance. We praise you for that. We ask you now, Lord, as we get into your word, that you would just help us with it. Father, we need your help. We need the guidance of your Holy Spirit to show us, and we just ask your Holy Spirit would just take full control. We ask that the things that we have here today, Father, would just be uplifting to you and pleasing to you, and that you would just help us, guide and direct. We thank you now, Father, for this time, and we ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses. Abe Lincoln. I thought that was pretty good that he come up with something like that there. All right, we've been going over the Proverbs 31 woman, and we were just talking about some different aspects there after that. We had the qualities that were developed from this woman and the results of this kind of living. And now we're into a good wife is to be a help to help her husband. Why should I be a help to my husband? Ladies, why should you be a help to your husband?
Because we need a lot of help.
Huh. He must have changed his gender. Ladies. Well, that's a good idea, though.
Just help her.
Yeah.
I can help.
Why should you be a good help to your husband?
Because he expects it. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. We're going to be going over this here afterwards here in a little while, but here you had Adam, everything. I mean, he was there. The animals and everything was named. He just named everything, and there he was in a garden to take care of it alone. He was there with all these animals and everything, but yet he needed a helpmeet. God said he needed a helpmeet, and so he made a helpmeet for him. So why should you be a good helpmeet to your husband, ladies? Get you talking here this morning. And don't tell me you don't talk, because I know women. Go ahead.
I wonder if that's where you'll find fulfillment, even though you think it wouldn't be that way, since that's the way God created us. That's where we would find, true fulfillment, is in what God created us to do.
Good idea. That's what I think a lot of these women today are looking for on this out on the outside world. They want to work. They want to be equal. They want to be everything else. But God made the woman to be, that's her fulfillment. Everything that she does, all the work that she does, taking care of the children, taking care of the household things and all that, and making sure that when her husband comes home, he has a good meal and all them kind of things, that's a fulfillment. I agree with you on that. That's good. Very good. Anybody else? Mrs. Codner, I know your wheels are rolling. Go ahead. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Right. Yep. Good. Okay. That's just what I have down here. To be a good wife, you must remember that you were created for your husband. You were made to help him. Every husband needs a good wife, and they do. Every man needs a good wife to get by, to do these things. And how can I be a help? How can you be a help to your husband? That's the next question here. Ladies, how can you be a help to your husband? I'm going to make you talk, so go ahead and talk. Go ahead. There you go. Good. Very good. Anybody else?
Be available.
That's the first thing I have down here. Exactly right. Always be on call whenever your husband needs you for anything. How about like a quick sandwich? A phone call? Running errands and etc. You know. I'll say it anyhow. Amy back there, she has to run errands for Chad all the time. He don't run none himself. She runs them. And that's good. There's nothing the matter with that. Listen, man, you know what it's like. You get busy, you get doing something, and you need something. But you still can do something. But if you can send your wife to go get it for you, you do it, don't you? Exactly. It's like waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to paint. So, you know, that's something that can be done. Go ahead, Mrs. Codner.
One place I really saw that illustrated was when we were in Kansas. The men would be getting ready for harvest or something, and they would send their wife with a list of parts to the parts store. And that just blew my mind. I know nothing about parts, but a lot of those women learned about parts. And, you know, the men there were able to help, but they usually came home with the right parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was a really big help to those men. And I think that one thing that showed me is that sometimes when you're growing up and you hear what a good wife is, it sounds like, well, everybody's going to do the same thing. And every wife is not going to do the same thing, because a farmer has different needs than someone who works in an office or a factory, and mm-hmm. they have different needs than a pastor or an evangelist or whatever it is. It's every, you know, they have different needs, and so therefore it's adapting to those.
Right. I send my wife for parts, car parts. There's times, I don't know enough. I said, I have everything set up for you. Just all you have to do is pick them up. You know, and if it's something heavy, I won't send it for her because she's not allowed to lift, and I won't let her lift. I will not do that. But if it's little, I say, listen, it's just a little package. You can pick it up with one hand. You know, go get it for me. You know, because I'm at work, I just don't have time, you know, to go get. And you're right, you know. That's exactly right. If you tell a woman that you need a body side molding or a rear bumper cover for a car, they wouldn't even know what to get for you. But you say, I got it ready. All you got to do is go pick it up and write the check out. You know, they can do it for you. But yes, that's right. He's exactly right. That's very good. Anybody else? Go ahead. Yeah, well, it's just not that, what you just said there. It's a man and woman are different, period. We've been saying that. You know, it's just not because he's from the north, you're from the south, and all that stuff. Man and woman are different, you know. But that's a good idea, you know, finding out the husband's needs. And the next thing here I have down, be ready to be your husband's secretary. My wife's my secretary. She takes care of the bookwork stuff. I don't touch it. If it would come to me to balance a checkbook, you can forget it. I'm not going to do it. Forget it. It can just be, you know, whatever it turns out to be, and that's it. So I don't know how to do it. I learned one time, and then I just left her do it, and it's so much easier. She's the one that can get mad, which she does. If she's off a penny, she's mad. I can't find that penny, and I'm going to find it. Well, she finds it, you know, and that kind of stuff. That penny wouldn't mean nothing to me. $100 wouldn't mean nothing to me. I don't care. She can do it, you know. So she's my secretary. She does it. The next thing, a maid, you know, you can, you know, she's my maid. She takes care of you. She takes care of all the housework and that kind of stuff. If for some times that I can help out, I try, but, you know, it's very seldom. Very seldom that I can help. But some of you guys, you know, you do that, and there's nothing the matter with that. You can help her out. But most of the time, she's your maid. You know, she does those kind of things. Friend. She's your friend. You know, someone to talk to, you know, someone to yak to. And definitely, you've got to talk. Men, you have to talk to them. Please talk to them. You know, when they talk, because if you don't, you're really in trouble. That's all I got to say. But anyhow, you know, talk. So be a friend. And the last one here I got down as a lover. We're not going to discuss this. It's just in this here. I talked to my wife about this, and I thought, I can't talk about this, but I'm going to read some verses here to you. Go ahead, Ben. Yeah.
So, anyway,
and you know, there's a lot when they first get married, and maybe some of you are going through it. You expect your wife just to cook and everything like your mother.
Yeah.
You know, the food's got to taste like mother made it, you know. And things like there's guys out there that expect that, you know. And that's not right. She's your wife now. Learn to eat what she puts on the table for you. Sometimes it looks like a mess, but you at least taste it anyhow. Taste it for her, you know. And so even now, 42 years later, sometimes it scares me when I look at it. But when you taste it and you think, well, you know, that's not too bad, but so. Okay, I'm getting the stop, so I'm going to stop. So I'll do that, okay? Let me read these verses here to you. And we'll go from there. See, at least I'm not the only one that goes through it. I can tell it right now. But anyhow, 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5 says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not the power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not the power of his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency." Ladies, you got to meet your husband's sexual needs. Okay? I'm not discussing it. I'm just putting that out to you. There was a lot more to this here than there is, but I discussed this with my wife, and she said, "No, you can't say something." I said, "I agree with you. I just wanted to ask you." But ladies, meet them. Even Christian men can fall. They're tempted. Look at David and Bathsheba. If you want an instance, there's an instance. Okay, men can fall. So ladies, just do your job. That's all I'm going to say about that, and we're not even going to put it up for discussion. Okay, the next thing here is tactfully fill in what your husband lacks and adapt to his needs. And I think that's just what you were talking about. Okay, now ladies, if you're creative, and you know, and a lot of ladies are, they're creative men, and you better listen to them when they say something to you, you know. But if you're creative, you know, don't say, "Honey, you never have any good ideas," you know. Just give him an idea, you know. Suggest good ideas for him, you know. It's something that's a good help for him. Good ideas. Remember, your ability should complement your husband. Your ability should complement your husband. So do that. Amy, did you have your hand up, or were you just stretching? Oh, okay. You must have just been stretching. I thought I seen your hand. So, you know, if you have good ideas, help them out. You know, there's nothing the matter with that. just like this decorating here and stuff, I know Amy and some of the other ladies did it. I'll bet you Chad didn't say one word about how to do this here, you know, or anything like that there. It was her idea. It was good ideas. And he probably went by them. Or did you? Did you? Oh, I didn't think you did. So, you know, that's it. They women have good ideas for different things. You know, listen to her at least anyhow when she does.
I think that's where men mess up a lot. We don't let them help. I mean, they're created to help us. And we think, well, I can do it myself. I can do this. And we can't do the things that women do.
Right. Listen, men, ladies are very good at putting colors and stuff together. If you think you are, you can forget it. You're not. And I'm going to be the first to admit it. I'll guarantee you. Right. No, I agree. What's well, yeah, sometimes, you know, colors and cars, you know, but anyhow. But even so, you know, no, I even ask my wife sometimes about colors for cars or something if I want to paint something of my own, you know. But anyhow, they do. In the house, you're going through it now. I'm sure you picked out all the colors, huh?
I didn't pick out one.
There you go. There you go. Okay? She knows, okay? I want this room. This is a girl's room. I want this room, such and such. This is a boy's room. I want this room, such and such, you know. And so you just, it's better to let them do it because they are excellent at colors, you know. It's the same way, and some of you men, don't you sit here and tell me that they don't. They help dress you because you can't put them together. Can't put the colors together. I can't put the colors together. To me this morning, I wouldn't have wore a plain tie with this checkered shirt. I'd have wore something that had all kinds of designs in it, and she'd have been chewing me out because I put that tie. I would have said, don't worry about it. But they do today. They put anything together. It's nuts what they put together anymore with colors and stuff. But ladies can do that. So they have good ideas in them kind of things, man. Just let them do it. Don't start a fight and argument about it. Just let them do it. It's a good idea, you know. Like I said, remember, your ability should complement your husband. And they do. That's something that they do. Any comments on that anymore? Go ahead.
A memory came to my mind about my mother and father. You had mentioned that, you know, a woman could give her husband an idea, but just let him run with it. And just a thought came to my mind. My dad had a piece of land, and he had a tree nursery. And he got to the point where his back was hurting him, and so he decided not to do that anymore. And my mother just suggested to him, why don't you put a mobile home court in? And that's all she said. And lo and behold, my dad did all the work, and right when it was time to get the trailers and that to come in, there was a flood. And HUD brought in all these trailers so that my parents' mobile home court, it was totally filled up immediately because of all these flood victims. And that mobile home court, they sold that and retired. And they were able to buy like a little double wide in Florida, and that's where they retired to. It was all because of my mother's one idea.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. You know, take their ideas, men. Don't be afraid to take their ideas. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but don't be afraid to do it. So, okay? All right. Now, remember, everything you have is for your husband. This in here one here is the one I told you that you take it and you run with it the way you want to. I don't agree with it totally, but I have my ideas about it. But this lesson where I'm getting is they have their ideas and it's okay. Even if you work and earn your own money, your husband has final say about how to use that money, unless he wants to use it for sin like drinking and gambling, etc. Run with that the way you want to. I don't agree with that totally. I feel that if the lady, she earns her money, she can use it the way she wants to. My wife will tell me times, you know, where she says, okay, I'm going to save my money for this and this and this. I said, fine, you know. And that's what she uses it for. Or she wants to go out to get something. She said, I'm going to take my money to buy. And I said, fine, I don't care. You know, it's your money. Do what you want with it. I don't have final say in her money. But if you do, there's nothing to matter with it. Okay, nothing to matter with that whatsoever. But I just, you know, it's just one of them things. Like I say, she's out, she's working, she's earning her money, and I feel that she can spend her money the way she likes to if she needs to or she wants to, too. And, I mean, she asked me, I ask her, you know, whenever I want to buy something, I say, okay, I'm going to buy this. She said, no, you don't need it. Well, I'm buying it anyhow. So, but, you know, at least I tell her, you know, and stuff like that there. But, you know, run with that the way you want to. It's okay. Either way, it's okay. I feel, you know, on that. But, you know, that's just what it was. Your husband, not the children, should have the best in your home. He's the king.
I like this one. This one's good.
He's the king. If he likes candy, soda, or whatever, you get it for him before you get it for yourself or the children. Good idea. Put him on a pedestal. Don't forget, you were created for your husband, not for your children. Love them. Put him first. Now I went that overboard a little bit, you know, by expressing it. But, you know, he is, you know, if there's things that he likes, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of you ladies do. It took me harping for a couple months, and I'm sure that you saw it, some of you, on Facebook, this nice big pie, strawberry pie that I finally got. And then she's on me, well, why aren't you praising me like you said in Sunday school and stuff? Well, first of all, she told me that she helped, that she was teaching one of her, the twins, to help her do this. Now, she had helped doing it. And I said, why should I praise you? Because you didn't do it. If you did it, I'd have praised you. But, you know, it got into it. It was okay. She did it. She did a good job. They did a good job. They made a couple of them for me and stuff. But anyhow, you know, she does those kind of things for me. She knows there's some once in a while she'll treat me to some candy or something like that there, you know, or a soda or something like that. Now and again, you know, she does that. And that's great. That's fine, you know. There's nothing the matter with that whatsoever. But, you know, help your husband out a little bit, you know. Kind of put him, he's out there, and look, I'm not talking about you ladies at work, but a lot of you men that are out here working at your women are home, you know, taking care of the house and all them kind of things, you know. Ladies, sometimes, you know, he comes home dragging or something. Give him something special, you know. Make him something special or whatever it is, you know. Treat him like the king of the house or whatever that you might think that he is. And, you know, go from there, whatever you think he might is. She's the queen, yes, and she should be treated like the queen too. Yeah, you can sit beside me, honey, to eat at that supper. Get in your robe, get your helmet on, honey, and sit beside me here. You can sit beside me. No, that's true. What? Let's see. I have to look for that one. No, it's just the lady that wrote this, you know, she has some good ideas and stuff on it, but you know, it's something, you know, help them out a little bit, ladies. That's what this all is about, you know. Also, and the men too. Men, you gotta appreciate it when they do that for you, though. You know, that's fine. Okay, questions or comments any more on that one? All right. Next thing here, let your husband mold you and suggest qualities on which you need to work. Now, this is a tough one. Yeah, it is. Because we just went over that Proverbs 31. Now, ladies and men, if I told you to, ladies, take that there and tell your husband to write down the qualities that you need work on, could you handle it? Men, if you wrote this, that, okay, honey, you need to work on this, can she take it, you know? Some people some could handle it, but some couldn't handle that whatsoever. And I'm just suggesting this to you. You know, it is a good idea. It is a good idea. It's a good idea that you write down the things for her to work on, but it's a good idea for her to write down the things that you need to work on. And can you handle it, men? You know, can you handle it? You have to. Look at it in the Bible perspective. Look at it in the Lord's perspective, and you can handle it, you know. And then work on it. Don't get mad at one another. Does the pastor tramp on your toes when he preaches? It's the same thing. He does mine. You know, do I get mad at him and go punch him in the nose or something like that there? No. You know, if there's something that I need to work on that he said in his message, I'm going to work on it. If there's something he says in his message that, you know, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I go home many times and check it out in the Bible to see if he was right. If he was right, I'm going to work on it. If there's questions about it, he knows. I've already gone to him. I will go to him and say, look, Pastor, are you sure? You know, this is how it is. You're thinking, go ahead. Right. And you said a key word there, communicate it. We have to communicate it one with to the other properly, in love. You know, just don't go up to her and say, hey, you're doing this. This is stupid the way you're doing this. This is what you need to work on. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. You do it properly in love. And, you know, it's a good possibility that they'll, you know, there won't be no madness. They accept it and all that kind of things. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. We discussed that before, it's the same. It's good, you know, praising one another, you know, for the things that you do, you know, that it is one of them things, you know, helping them out, and just what we've been talking about here, helping your husband out, you know, if he's out, you see him outside, he's outside working, and the sweat's rolling off of him. Bring him a cup of tea or what he likes to drink or something like that there to keep him from, things like that there. You don't even have to say that's a praise. That is a praise. You know, you don't have to say it. It's good to say it, but, you know, just something like that there, it's very appreciative, and it is a praise, you know. If I'm out there and I'm sweating and I'm just, you know, can't hardly move anymore and she brings me something to drink, man, that's a praise. I need that. That just refreshes me and it gets me going again. I seen two hands over here. You first.
Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. Of course, that's unequal yoke, but in a Christian marriage, it's an equal yoke, and it's a partnership. And there's one common goal. Mm-hmm. And so when if she's part of my flesh, and which we are. It's more than me telling her what she's not doing right or her telling me what I'm not doing right. It's oneness. It's us together. And so if one of us is off balance or whatever, then we need to really try to pick each other up and help each other understand and communicate what you're saying there. You're talking real practical when you say, but I look at it we've got family goals, and like her money, my money, whatever. We've got a goal, and if we're going to be selfish, obviously selfishness sneaks in anywhere. I mean, we've struggled, you know, with that as people and whatever. so much easier for me to function in my marriage and in my home. And when I don't, then I'm pretty selfish, wanting to give her a list or something. I'm not wanting to give her a list, but that's how we come across.
Mm-hmm. What's scary to me there, what he's saying about being unequally yoked together, and I don't know, I'm sure that you have experienced it already, a lot of you, but when she starts thinking like me, before I'm thinking of something, and all of a sudden she brings it out before I brought it out, I think, whoa, what's going on here? You know, yeah, you're thinking alike. You know, and it's same way, you know, opposite. You know, she's thinking of something, and I say it to her, and say, well, I was just thinking about that.
She loves what I love, and I love what she loves. I'm supposed to. I'm selfish.
Oh.
And I'm something I know I need to work on. But my wife can look up used equipment like no other man. She knows what a good price for a used chipper is, what year it is. She's okay. You know, and when it comes to just priorities in our lives. My wife loves what I love, or she really tries hard to do it, and that's love. And
did you ever have her up beside you in a tree yet, climbing? You know, just cutting trees. Didn't work. Nate, I see your hand.
I think Ben said before. Sometimes we think. Should be mind readers, and if there's a woman that it wants to serve God, a good godly woman, she wants to please her husband. But a lot of times the husband thinks she should know what he likes and what he wants, and if he just tell her, she'd do it. And the communication is huge, because we think nothing alike, men and women, not even close. And when we communicate how we feel, we can get on the same page and actually accomplish something.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, try and see what happens. You know, mm-hmm. Just what I'm saying there. You know, look at some of these qualities that's here in the Bible, and then put the list down. Don't get mad. You know, try to work on them. That's the whole goal of the whole of what we're talking about here is, you know, try to work on these things. You know, if you think your wife has something that's, you know, that she needs to work on, fine. If the wife thinks the man has something that he needs to work on, fine. You know, give it to him. Don't be afraid to say something to him about it, and let them work on it. You know, we all have our faults. Forget it. There is not one perfect person in here, not even the pastor. And I bet you I could ask Mrs. Carter now, and she would tell you that, but I'm not going to ask her. So. But no, there's not. We all have our own faults, you know. We have faults, and you know, it's nice to sometimes to work on them. But just bring it out, deliver that message the right way, do it out of love. Okay, the next thing here is train the children well. Husbands don't usually have much contact or time with the children, and the wives do, and that's true. They do, you know. And the men are out working all the time. And you know, they don't have as much contact with the children as the ladies do, and so that's the thing. But the man is going to be answer to the Lord for it. It's his responsibility that these children behave right, that they're brought up right, that they're taught right. Let me read the verse to you here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And this is talking about a bishop or a church leader. That's what you are in the home, man. That's what you are. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So it's your responsibility, man. You're going to answer for it. But ladies, it's your responsibility to bring those children up well, so that when he does answer for it, God can say to both of you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, so that's what I think it's all about there that he's talking about. You know, training the children well. Questions or comments on that one? Go ahead.
I feel like that. feel like I've got a lot of flexibility because I get to, you know what I'm saying? I get to choose work. It's not 40 hours a week doing this and whatever, and so there's a lot of flexibility, but I feel like, with that, I feel like I have a great responsibility to not worry about making money and trying to get this dealt with and all kinds of calls or whatever, but I've got a responsibility to be there for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to vacation, it's not for me. Well, I need a vacation. No. A fellow feels like that sometimes, but so does a lady. And it's got to be. I have a responsibility right now, these kids, is to spend it with them. And, you know, my wife and children. I would run off on a hunting trip or something. Not that that's all wrong, and I understand that, but that's really got to be weighed at this important time.
Well, you have to be acknowledgeable, man, to your wife, you know, too, to see. There's times where you can see she needs a break.
She does.
You just say, and that's when you say, okay, honey, go. I'll take care of the kids. Or if it's like, you know, some of us that our kids are already grown up, say, let's go. We're taking this weekend off. We're going someplace. We're just going to go do something, period. There's nothing the matter with that. You have to do that. You got to understand that both of you, you know, there's times where you need a break. There's times where I tell my wife, okay, I can't take it anymore. We're going someplace. Let's go. Pack the bags, we're going, you know, something like that there. We just go away for the weekend or something like that. So, and I know when she needs it, you know, I'll either tell her, go, get out of here, go. I'll take care of the stuff or I'll take her. So, but that's right. That is right. You that's something that you have to be, you know, responsible for. The same way, you know, with the children here, with what we're talking about with the children and stuff. They have, the ladies have a great responsibility raising these children and, you know, taking care of the home and stuff, but it can get to them the same as it can get to you, men, when you're out here on the job constantly all the time. So, good point. Okay, anything else on that? Yes.
I think you have to agree on how you're going to raise your children.
Mm-hmm.
If there's disagreement, it becomes a very bewildering experience, especially for the wife. And I think that husbands and wives need to learn to agree, and no two households are the same, so it's a guarantee that the wife and the husband were not brought up exactly the same.
Right. There's homes where I just thought of that. There's homes where there's contention there. You know, the husband wants to lick the children and the wife doesn't want to, or vice versa. And that can create one big problem, you know, on how to correct the children. You know, correction is one of the things that, you know, that it's tough on some people, you know. And it starts arguments, it starts fights, and this is where things start, you know, just like that there. I agree with you. You have to agree. You and her have to agree on how you're going to raise your children. My wife and I talked it over before we had children. We're going to do this, 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 and this. And that's what we did. We agreed on it, you know. And there was, like I said, there was times, or one of the things that we did, we decided that we weren't going to put them in public school. If you have your kid in public school, there's nothing against it. I have nothing against it. We just decided that we weren't going to, because we knew what the public school was like when we were in there. We knew how things were going, and we knew things were getting worse. So that's what we decided to do. And she knew it, that I had to work constantly all the time, but she had to be there for the kids. When they had games and things like that, she's the one that went to them. I didn't. I was working. Like I said, I blowed it, but at least the kids had their mother there anyhow. But today, guess who they come to whenever sometimes they have problems? Mother. And I have no problem with that. Oh, they come to me too, but they come to, I see it up a lot, they come to mom, because mom was there for them. They knew it. And you know, that's something that's near and dear to my heart, that's good, I feel, you know, because she was there.
It's really tough, though, today. A lot of both parents work and send their babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost tragic.
It is, yeah.
It's not popular to claim that truth, I'll tell you that.
No, that's right.
And but it's not about being on a high horse saying this. Well, I got it right, you know. It's about there's an epidemic of we're losing hearts of children because of this philosophy of life. And it is absolutely, it's tragic.
I don't know where the idea comes from, you know, and that's what happens with a lot of young couples. They start out, you know, and they think they have to have a brand new house, brand new car for each of them, a boat, a camper, and all that stuff. And they get into it so bad that both of them have to work. And then when the children come along, they still have to work because they had that mentality that we have to have all this stuff. And that's the society today. And it's no good. You know, teach your children. It's no good. You know, it's not right. You know, that philosophy of it. You know, so it takes you 10, 15 years down the road. Patience, wait, whatever it takes, you know, to wait on them things. If it even ever comes, you know, what's the big deal? As long as you're happy together, if you have to rent all your life, so you're happy, no big deal. You know, you don't have to have brand new houses and stuff. And some, it's just like I told my wife yesterday. I was looking in the paper, always kind of look and see, you know, who's bought houses and this and that stuff. Where people are getting this money today? I have no idea. $590,000, $599,000, $445,000. I've seen of places of people buying houses. Now, how can you afford that? I could never afford that. I can't believe that. They must be making, either they're making money or they're in debt so bad that they'll never get out. I don't know. I know of a guy close by here that just bought right over here 60 acres of land and paid $560,000 for it. And I know what he does, and there's no way. Now, I know he inherited some. But he took that inheritance and took half of it and put it down on the land, and he's got to pay for the rest of it. But he still's got to pay for it. For 60 acres of land? Farmland? I don't know. I don't understand.
A lot of young people now are going in without buying those things, just if they both go to college, or going into college with, you know, over $100,000 worth in debt to start.
Mm-hmm.
And that
you have to be wise. You know, you have to be wise. That's what Proverbs, there's lots of things in Proverbs that talks about wisdom, about being wise and stuff. You have to be wise on monies and situations like that, or it just creates problems the rest of your life.
But then you also have the single moms and stuff, and single dads, or whatever, with those situations. Can't give a blanket statement on a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I know you don't say situational ethics and like or whatever, but there are circumstances that are different. You want to be very sensitive to that, because it's just not all cut and dry.
No, I understand. You know, and sometimes, you know, you ask the question, you know, how did they get themselves in that situation that they, you know, they ended up single and that kind of stuff? What went on, you know? Could have you worked it out, you know?
True.
Things like that, too,
yeah,
you know.
You can't change that.
No.
They can deal with the
future. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you can look at the past and learn from it and then change your future. So you can. And if you're wise and smart, you learn by your mistakes. I am one that has to learn by my mistakes. That's the way I've always been. I always probably will be. I got to learn by my mistakes, but I'm not afraid. You know, sometimes I'm not afraid to make a decision, and if I blow it, I blow it. But I learn from that mistake if I do make it. So learn from your mistakes, you know, and apply them to your life. Anything else? You got to quit there. Okay, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for the many aspects here of your Bible and teaching us, you know, the men and the women. And then when we get into the children, teaching the children also their father, the family themselves. And Lord, it's a lifetime learning experience for us. It's just not a day or two or a week or something like that, but it's a lifetime learning experience for all of us. And we just ask that we can learn through it and we can apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.